And I want to talk to you about being steadfast. Steadfast. Webster's Dictionary defines the word steadfast as solid, dependable, and immovable. And this is what we as Christians are to be in our walk with the Lord. We are also to have that same heart towards our spouses, with our children, with our family, with our friends, and with the body of Christ in the church. So tonight I'm going to go over a few scriptures that would help us to determine just how steadfast we really are. So with that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We just want to open up our hearts before you. And Father, take a deep look at ourselves, Father, in comparison with you. And Father, we just pray that during this time you would just help us to see where it is we need to work on, Father. For we know that we will always have things to work on until the day you come. So, Father, I just pray will you be with us now. You open our hearts and our minds to receive what it is you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So first of all, I'd like to get started in what I guess you guys would call my favorite book.
Job.
Hey, you're right. We'll start off in Job. I could find it at home. Why can't I find it here? Right before Psalms, right? Okay. Job chapter 11. Now these are some things that Zophar, the Naamanite, had said to Job. And I feel the main reason they're in the Bible, of course, is for us to learn to see from. And so beginning in verse 13, Zophar said, "If you would prepare your heart, stretch out your hands towards him," meaning God, "if iniquity were in your hand and you put it far away and would not let wickedness dwell in your tents, and surely you would lift up your face without spot. Yes, you could be steadfast and not fear, because you would forget your misery and remember it as waters that have passed away. And your life would be brighter than noonday. Though you were dark, you would be like morning, and you would be secure because there is hope. Yes, you would dig around you and take your rest in safety. You would also lie down with no one to make you afraid. Yes, many would court your favor, but the eyes of the wicked will fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope, loss of life." Now it's time for the first question we should ask ourselves. Is there any repetitive sin in your life that keeps you from being steadfast as a Christian? Yes or no? Simple question. And if you answer it yes, what is it? Because based on Job 11, verse 14, what do you need to do with that sin? As it says right there, put it far away. And again, based on verse 15, if you put it away, what will it produce in your life? You could lift up your face without spot. Yes, you could be steadfast and not fear. How gracious that would be to not fear and to be steadfast. So these are just some things that I'm throwing out to you that you can take some time to look deep into our hearts to study these things. Okay, now let's go to the New Testament. We can go over there to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15. The very last verse, verse 58. As Paul says to the Corinthians, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So with that, ask yourself, what work of the Lord are you involved in? In matter of fact, are you involved in the work of the Lord? Of course, the answer to that is we all should be yes. Even if it's just spending time in your prayer closet praying. That, of course, is the most important work of the Lord. But that is a work of the Lord. So if you say, yes, I abound in my work, do you really abound in it? Are you really taking the time in the work of your Lord, or are you doing it just half-heartedly? And then write down to yourself why you feel you are abounding in it or not abounding in it. Because these are things we should keep in mind. Now let's see what Paul said to the Galatians. Go over to Galatians chapter 5. Very first verse, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, Paul here was talking to the Galatians about their bondage and going back. Because if you notice one thing there, he did say was, do not be entangled again. They're going back. And if in their case there, it was people were getting worried about being circumcised in the flesh. And Paul was saying no. And he's talking also here about bondage. And there's one thing about bondage, you notice he said here, instead of saying sin, he said bondage. Because bondage is not necessarily a sin. It is something that can get in our way and cause us to sin, but the bondage itself is not necessarily a sin. It's going to be a lot of it with our attitude toward it. We'll see a little bit of that later. So in light of that, stop and think. Is there anything that has you in bondage? That's it. For instance, you might have once put away. And if so, what is it? And then again, why did you pick it up again? If it's something that we already put away. Now let's see what he had to say to the Philippians. Next book over. Chapter 1. Verse 27. He's talking now about our conduct. He says, oh, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation that is from God. So now, ask yourself this question. Are you totally satisfied with your conduct at this point in your walk with Christ? Now, that's personal, but I'm sure most of us would probably say, no. So write down on your little piece of paper there for you to go study why or why not you think that conduct is good. And then the most important thing is, what can you do to change it? Well, let's give a few examples of things of what a man or a woman of God should not be. That'll help us to know what we should be. So let's go over to James chapter 1. Okay, James chapter 1. Verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not a man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So what do we see here? By that standard, do you consider yourself to be stable or unstable? Are you always changing your mind, changing your job, changing your life? If so, why? That's where we have to stop and think, is when we write down why. Because that gives us a good place to start in our study. So now I'm going to go back to the Old Testament, to Proverbs. And in Proverbs chapter 24, in verse 21, my son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those given to change. It's amazing. Yes, it's amazing how often change comes up. Why do you think the Lord would say that? 1 Kings chapter 18. And we're going to start in verse 21. But anyway, this is the time where Elijah had just put down the prophets of Baal. And, of course, we all know that story about how he teased them on to why Baal wouldn't light his fire and then God did his. And to me, that's one of the funniest places in the Bible. I mean, it really shows God's sense of humor, I think, in that story. Verse 21, we're going to go to. Verse 21 of 1 Kings 18. 18:21. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." He put it right to him. And of course, now here's the sad part. But the people answered him not a word. That's pretty bad. So now we have to ask ourselves this. Are you totally convinced that Jesus is Lord and the only one who could save your soul? Why? That's the important thing. Why? Because I've heard of a lot of people that be out there and say, "Yeah, he is." Ask them why. That's where it counts. Now, here's another question that goes right along with this. Does your life reflect a decision to follow Jesus? Or does your life reflect that you follow Jesus? Or would someone from the outside not be able to tell? Why not? Well, I'm not saying that you tell them you're a Christian. I'm saying from your actions and what you do, could somebody else say that person must be a Christian because of what he... Well, let's stop and take a look at a couple of things Jesus had to say about it. Go back to the New Testament, to the book of Luke. In chapter 16... In this chapter, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And in verse 13, he simply says to them, "No servant," 16:13, okay? "No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." I feel that the word mammon here is moolah, material possessions. So now we have to stop and ask ourselves this. Are you richer in the things of the Spirit or just things? You know, having things is not a sin. I mean, we could have a really nice car, a really nice house, a lot of money. But that's not necessarily a sin. Again, we have to stop and look at our attitude at looking at those things. Because those things, if you want to get down to it, they're not even yours. They belong to God. And he's letting you use them. They are a tool. Yes, he did. Well, like I say, if you got a really nice car and you're out there polishing it every day instead of studying the Bible, I believe you have a problem with it. At that point... You see, it's coming out. It gives us things to study. So there'd be no excuses we could not to spend some time in the Bible and some prayer, I tell you. Okay. So if you do have a problem with, what can you do to change that situation? Put God first, right. Right. So just remember that. It's all, a lot of it is in perspective and your attitude. Now let's go back a couple of chapters to Luke chapter 9. And the last verse there, where Jesus was talking to some of these people that were going to come and they wanted to follow him. And Jesus had said to them, because this would be verse 62. But Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." So in other words, he's saying, don't go back. It's not that we, he's saying, looking back, the way he means it is looking back with envy. You know, hey, I did that, and boy, I'd sure like to do that again, or you know, something like that. It's in the past. Leave it as the water that's traveled under the bridge. It's gone. Don't look back. It's part of your past. Look to the future. Look to God. Because the going back, again, could be going back to bondage. It'd be the same thing, going back to bondage. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to give you some verses of encouragement to help you along with this study. So first of all, we'll see what Paul had to say on it in Philippians. Well, I'll tell you, since we've been doing them Bible books every Sunday, people find them a lot faster nowadays. You notice that?
Somebody's going to flip in the doll house tonight and laugh.
The only one not flipping pages is CJ. And he's got a good reason. Of course, Jerry's cheating over here with the point and touch. That's the easy way, too. Okay, Philippians, chapter 4. Comes right after chapter 3. Okay, Bill?
Got it.
Verse 1. Paul says to the Philippians, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved." He's encouraging them to stand fast in the Lord. And again, the next book over, two books over, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3. Paul again encourages them in verse 8. "For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord." Again, stand fast. And he even encourages them again on his second letter to them. In chapter 2, verse 15. "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle." So he's saying there, learn from your teachers. Learn from the epistle. Learn from the written word. Spend time in it. Study it. Just don't read through it and say, "I did it." But take the time to study it. And then the writer of Hebrews also had something to say on it in verse 3. chapter 3 of Hebrews. No, chapter 3, verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Which brings us back to what Mark said earlier about being rebellious and the change. Don't rebel against God's word. Be steadfast. Stand in it. So with that, I'm sure you have a lot of things here that we can go home and spend some good Bible study in to help ourselves. And when we're done, I'd like to just know if you would be willing to say this prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to be a genuine person who loves you with all of my heart. I don't want to look back and lose sight of you. I willingly give up my sin, my pride, and my things that keep me from you. Give me boldness, strength, and the steadfastness I need to follow you without faltering. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I please ask you one thing. Do me a favor, and most of all, do yourselves a favor. If you say this prayer, please share it with someone in the body, and they would be glad to continue on praying with you. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in your word this evening, Father. We thank you that you have given us this opportunity to turn back and look deep in our hearts, to see where we go wrong, to see where we falter, and the things that you show us that we can grow closer to you. For sometimes we get so fixed on one thing, Father, we let other things slip by. When we know that we have to look at the whole picture, and we have to be there and not be rebellious, not to put anything in front of you, and not to look back yearningly for anything that's happened in the past. But help us, Father, look ahead, especially to your coming, that we will be ready. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.